And so we're thankful. Today we're going to share a message entitled Prospering with Integrity. Our world would like to teach us that if you want to get ahead, that you're going to have to cut corners. Our world wants to teach us that if you want to get ahead, you need to cheat a little bit. You need to tell a few lies. You need to do all those things. But I'm here to remind you once again that if you want to get ahead, that you can get ahead and still keep your integrity intact. You don't have to compromise your values to prosper and to move forward. And so the world wants us to think that, wow, if I'm really going to be successful in my business, I'm going to have to cheat a little bit and do some things that some folks might consider unethical. But I'm here to remind you today, and also God's here to remind us as we look at Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, that as we look at this commandment that tells us to not steal, that we can get ahead without losing our integrity, without lying and cheating and stealing from others. And so that's the heart of what our message is about today, because if we need to be reminded of something today, that's it, that you can keep your integrity and still get ahead and prosper in your business, in your life, in your values, in your home, in every way. And so as we look at this commandment about you shall not steal, and as we look at this eighth commandment, I just encourage you to once again to push back sometimes even the indirect or subliminal messages that the world is trying to teach us that about what it means to get ahead and what you have to do to get it done. Because you can prosper, and you can prosper with your integrity remaining intact. And as we talk about stealing today, I came across a story that I just thought was incredible. And it was a story about a guy in London, England. He had been the victim of car theft, and his car had been stolen over 15 times over 8 years. And I thought that was pretty bad luck in and of itself until I read the story further. It says the first four cars he owned, they were all stolen. One was returned only to be stolen again later. And one day he was called into the police station to sort of reclaim some of the things that he lost and some of the stolen vehicles. And while he was in at the police station, someone stole his car while he was reclaiming those things. So theft is sometimes can be all around us, and you never know what's happening. So keep your eyes on your car, all right? So today I want to go through very quickly about some of the ways and how we steal. Now, if I was going to give you, and I'm telling you, as a people, we're pretty creative when it comes to stealing. But I want to give you six things about how people steal. You can add to that list. There are tons of ways that people steal. But I just, for the sake of our message today, I just wanted you to begin to think about how creative we have become when it comes to stealing. Because stealing sometimes we think is pretty simple. You know, hey, I could tell you today, don't steal and send you all home, and that's the end of the message. Well, I think you need to flesh it out a little bit and need to think about ways that people break this eighth commandment. And how you should not steal. So how do we steal? And again, it's amazing how we go about it, but here are six things I want to give to you very quickly. We steal by deceiving sometimes, especially if we're in business, by deceiving customers. As a matter of fact, it's not a new problem. Over 3,000 years ago, the prophet Amos wrote in chapter 8, verse 5, he says, they overcharge, use false measures, and fix the scales to cheat the customers. And again, I thought about that. I said, one of those days that's pretty relevant and how we go about it. Matter of fact, I've come across in my lifetime repairmen who have tried to do unnecessary repairs on my car, and I caught them. I've come, sometimes doctors will bring you back for another visit because they want to add to their billing. A salesman sometimes will skip over the fine print of a car. Doug would never do this, by the way, but some salespeople would do that, and because they want to sell you the car, but they don't tell you all the problems. So sometimes in our culture today, especially for those of us who identify and call ourselves Christ followers, be careful that you, especially in business or whatever you may be in, that you don't get in the business of deceiving others or deceiving customers that you may come in contact with. Number two, we steal by defrauding our employers, people we work for. And again, I'm not just talking about maybe padding your expense account or taking home supplies that don't belong to you, but you take them home anyway. I'm not talking about, you know, using the equipment or merchandise that you shouldn't be using, but you use it anyway. Some people defraud their employers by wasting time on the job. And the Bible, again, calls that stealing. If somebody's paying you for a day's wage to do a day's work, but you come in late, you leave early, maybe you spend extra time on your breaks, and you just have a very casual day, God says that's stealing. Don't do it. If someone's paying you, your employer is giving you pay for a full day's work, as a believer, you should exemplify integrity in filling that as well. And again, it may be simple for me to say this today, but it's the truth. It's amazing the number of people, even professing believers, who feel it's okay if I don't really do that. After all, the boss owes me. The boss owes me. Number three, sometimes we steal by delaying payments, especially again in business. And not much I would say about that, except to say that if you owe somebody some money, if you owe someone a bill, don't delay in paying that bill and giving back to them. Number four, we defraud people. We steal by defaulting on loans. The Bible says that a wicked man borrows and never pays back. And a lot of people have sometimes borrowed things and they have no intention of paying it back. Matter of fact, we'd even take that to the point of think about what you have in your garage today that belongs to somebody else. And maybe we have some tools in our garage that we are doing a long-term borrowing contract on, but really, maybe you actually have no intention of giving them back. And the Bible says that's stealing. You should go home today after church and give that stuff back. And there is no such thing as long-term borrowing. It's called stealing, and it's wrong. So sometimes we do that. Number five, by defrauding or deceiving the government. The authorities are established by God, and God says, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And so we need to sometimes be careful that when it comes to paying our taxes, that we do not defraud even the government. And if you're like me, nothing frustrates me more than when I see my taxes go up or they're going to charge me more taxes at the pump. I just go, and I just kind of grip my teeth and I want to get on Facebook and just kind of let them have it. But at the same time, I know the Bible teaches that we must give our taxes and as we're supposed to, and avoiding paying your taxes is not a good stewardship program. All right, some people maybe would think that, say, well, I'm just hanging off and I'm not paying the government because that's good stewardship. I'm going to wait till later. Some people might even call that tax evasion, but anyway, give unto Caesar what is Caesar. And so let's be careful that we don't get caught up in this whole idea of deceiving the government and so forth. Some people, and finally, the last one relates to our spiritual lives, don't defraud the Lord. And you knew I would get to this one. Matthew 3, verse 8, or not Matthew, but Malachi 3, verse 8 says, will a man rob God? And yet you rob me. But you ask, well, how do we rob God? Of course, the Bible teaches by withholding your tithes and your offerings. So those are some ways that people steal, and that list can go on. Matter of fact, we should pause right now, and you guys can tell me ways that people steal. It's just, the black market is alive with all kinds of things, under the table, over the table, in between the table, whatever way you can imagine. There's all kinds of things that have become a part of stealing that have become commonplace within our society today. And as believers, we get drawn into that. We start thinking that's the norm, and we teach it to our children. That's the norm. Little Johnny, if you want to get ahead, you need to cut corners here. You need to steal here. You know, that's not quite right, but it's okay this time. And so we have that kind of mentality that it's okay. And I'm here to say to you, let's not trust that or believe that in any way. So the real question then is, why should I be honest? When everyone else is maybe deceiving or stealing, and not everyone else, but when people are like that, why should I be honest? I want to give you four things very quickly, and I'm going to give them to you, then we're going to talk about them for a moment. Number one, I'm being watched, and you certainly are. And number two, I will reap whatever I sow. Number three, dishonesty will damage your character or my character. And number four, God rewards my honesty. So let's talk about these for a moment this morning. Are you with me? Okay, anyone's falling asleep, you elbow them real good, all right, and just let them know. So let's talk about it. Why should I be honest? Number one, I'm being watched by God. People steal sometimes because they think they can get away with it. They think nobody is going to know about it. I'll just take it and no one is watching. But always remember that God is always watching and he sees everything. And matter of fact, as a young man in grade 8, I was, and I've told the story before, but we were in a tribal club, and from New Brunswick, we came up to Ottawa, and on our way in Ottawa, we stopped in Montreal. Long story short, while I was in Montreal, we stayed in a fabulous hotel, and as a country boy, I thought, man, they have great tiles here in this hotel, and they got their name on it and everything, and so I said, I'm just going to take a set of those back home. And I think those would be great back at home. I could use those. And so I took those. And so I didn't, for me, it wasn't a problem at that time. I wasn't a believer. I wasn't brought up in the church. I didn't really pay any attention to it. Matter of fact, I grew up in an environment where we were about five miles from the American border. And my dad used to get us to, we would go across the border and we would come back across the border, and I remember one particular visit, we had two brand new saddles under the seat. My dad set us on top of it as young boys and said, don't say a word. We were smuggling these saddles back into Canada. And not only that, but we couldn't move anyway because my mom had so much clothes on us that we had sort of put on us because we went over there and did our shopping because it was so much cheaper. And we're sitting there on top of these stolen saddles, and we're bundled up in all these clothes and pull up to the border and they say, hey, do you have anything with you? And my dad says, no, not a thing. Okay, go on, head on through. And so I was brought up in an environment where stealing or doing things like that was just the norm. And so when I became a believer, I began to think about these stupid towels that I took from that hotel in Montreal. And I tried to forget about it. I shoved them in the bottom drawer. I stopped using them, put them in the bottom drawer, and you know, they were great. They were, I mean, I still like them. I put them in the bottom drawer, but you know what? The Lord would not let me forget about those stupid towels. And so I had to pull them out. I put them in a box, wrote the manager of the hotel, didn't even know if it still existed, wrote the manager of the hotel a note and said, please forgive me. I've given my life to Christ. I stole these while I was on a grade 8 travel club group. And I sent them back. I don't know where they ended up or what happened to them. Maybe somebody on the street got a lovely set of towels that they're using. But for me, it was that was that simple where I just felt, you know what? I need to come clean on that. And the funny thing is I probably have stolen a lot of other things over time in those days. But why did the Lord just seem to convict me so much on that set of towels? Maybe for you it's something like that as well. But we need to remind ourselves that God is watching and that he knows and that we need to be careful that we don't get caught up in stealing, thinking that no one's going to find out because God sees everything. And sometimes we forget that. Job chapter 34, verses 21 and 22 says, God carefully watches the going on of all mankind. He sees them all. No darkness is thick enough to hide evil from his eyes. In other words, nothing escapes God's view. Number two, or the second reason you should be honest, is that I will reap whatever I sow. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 says, don't be misled. Remember, a man will always, and notice the word there, a man will always, always, always reap just the kind of crop that he sows. So in other words, it reminds us that, and especially in farming, we know about this, that if you go out and you plant corn seed, you're going to get what?
Corn.
If you begin to steal from others, and you begin to plant kinds of seeds where you're taking from others and you're cheating other people, you are going to get cheated back. And whatever you plant is going to come back to roost on you. It's going to come back to impact your life. And so if you take advantage of other people, they will take advantage of you. You are going to reap what you sow. You will not get away with it. But the opposite of that is true, that if you do what is right and you plant the right seeds, if you are honest and you maintain your integrity in all your decisions, God says, I will make sure that you are blessed and that you will be honored as well. And so whatever you sow, you're going to reap. Proverbs 15:27 says, try to make a profit dishonestly and you will get your family in trouble. And the last thing I want is to get my family in trouble because I'm a dishonest person, because I think I can steal and get away with it, because I can cheat. But it will always come back to roost and will also impact my family as well. The newspapers are full of stories about people who thought they could get away with it. It's stories of families who are broken up in times of trouble because someone thought they could participate in dishonest gain. And so I want to encourage you as believers today, don't buy into that. We steal because we're motivated by greed. Sometimes we're motivated by laziness. We think I can just take from others who've done the work, and I can just, in a lazy way, take from others. And sometimes we steal because we have pride. And maybe you want to be like everybody else, but you can't afford what everybody else has, and so you steal. You steal maybe a pair of jeans from a store, or you steal from it because your pride says, I want to be recognized like everybody else. So greed, laziness, and pride are the three biggest things that motivate us to steal. I wish I had more time to go into that. Number three, the third reason you should be honest is because dishonesty will damage your character. And once your character is damaged, it's hard, very hard to rebuild it. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 2 says, wealth you get by dishonesty will do you no good, but honesty can save your life. The Bible reminds us that Satan himself is a thief. The thief, he's a thief that comes to kill and destroy. He comes to steal and to maim. But we need to be reminded of that, that Satan is like that. And on the other hand, God is always truthful, always honest, never dishonest. And so every time I make a decision to steal, doesn't matter how small or insignificant, every time I make a decision to steal, I am choosing to side with the devil rather than with God. And it's true. If Satan is the chief of thieves and the master of thieves, every time we steal or cheat, we're choosing to side with him instead of choosing to side with God. The devil wants you to steal because that's what he does. He's a thief. He's the father of thieves. And every time you're making a decision, you've got to choose whether you're going to go God's way or you're going to go Satan's way. And I know people don't believe in Satan, but you know what? He is real, and he is a deceiver, he's a liar, he's a cheat, he's a stealer, and every time we choose to go in that direction, we choose to side with him. So let's ask ourselves, who are we siding with in our lives? And because you will destroy your character, and Satan would love nothing more for your character to be destroyed and for your reputation to be diminished and that people to look down on you and not trust you. Satan is a thief, and God is the truth. And with God, there is no deception. There is no lying, no cheating, no stealing within him. So who do you choose to side with? And finally this morning, God will reward my dishonesty. God will reward you in this life, and we don't talk about that in church enough. Sometimes we make fun of people who say, you know, the Lord will bless you twofold, sevenfold. But you know what? The Bible teaches that. God will bless you and reward you when you choose to do what is right. And in this case, when you choose to be honest and not steal, you know what? God will make up the difference if you will choose to maintain your character and do what he wants. So in this life and in eternity to come, God will reward you. Proverbs 28 and verse 20 says, honest people will lead a full, happy life. But if you're in a hurry to get rich, you're going to be punished. Honesty leads to a full and happy life. And I don't know about you, but I love to live a full, happy life. I don't want to be looking over my shoulder. I don't want to be thinking about who I stole from. And, I don't even know if it's not in my notes, but I think I remember this past week seeing a video clip of a lady, a girl, her bike was stolen. And so she kept looking for it on Craigslist, found someone who was trying to resell her bike. She put in, say, hey, I'd like to buy your bike, and then she ended up stealing the bike back from the person who stole it from her. But it was her bike, so it wasn't stealing, so it was kind of interesting. And so we just need to realize that when we choose integrity in life, let's realize God will bless us, and we can prosper as believers, and we don't have to steal or cut corners or be dishonest. We don't have to. And so I want to encourage you as my church family, think about honoring the Lord, and He will bless you and reward you. And we need to make sure that we don't have skeletons in our closet. And because, again, if there are, then deal with them, get them out front, and let the grace of God bring forgiveness and move forward from that. Like you, and I just close with this, maybe there's some things in your life that you need to make restitution about. Maybe something that the Lord has placed on your mind even years ago, you need to say, you know what, I stole that, I need to do something about it. And so if you want to find the pathway back and you want to pass that final exam that someday God is going to give all of us, well, then we need to realize, you know what, if I've stolen, I need to ask God to forgive me. And I need to come clean, and I need to be faithful in it. And finally, this morning, I want to encourage you, live an honest life. Even when it doesn't serve your advantage, even when you may come out of it thinking, I'm going to lose big on that business deal, I'm going to lose big on that friendship or relationship. If I tell the truth, you know, I'm up a creek, you know, without a paddle. Always choose to be honest and do it with grace. And God will always, always watch over you, and He will always pour out His blessings on those who are honest, never on dishonesty. So this morning, that's my word of encouragement to you. So let's stand together as we close out this message. Lord, this morning, thank You for bringing us together. Thank You for loving us and for allowing us to come into this hotel, to turn it into a place that is designated to worship You and to honor You. And as we go from this place today, I'm asking that You would just fill us with Your grace, with Your love, that it would overflow in such incredible ways. Lord, I'm asking that You would bless Your people here today and that You would help them to always choose honesty, to choose integrity, and to realize, Lord, we can get ahead, even in this world, if we put You first and follow Your principles and Your precepts that You've given us. Lord, You told us not to steal, but You also gave us a promise. And the promise is, if we would choose to be honest, You would bless Your people. Help us to go forward with that truth today, and we just give You all the praise as we ask for Your leading and Your guiding in the coming week. And if there's someone here that needs to find their way back and they need to ask for forgiveness, Lord, or make restitution like I did with those tiles, Lord, I just ask that You would speak to our hearts and help us to be men and women that are willing to live that kind of integrity in spite of what may be happening around us. Go with us now and help us, even this week in the marketplace. Help us this week within our homes. Help us in every facet of our lives, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We're going to give you about 5 or 10 minutes if you want to just stretch. And we're going to, for those of you who want to stay, we're going to come back and we're going to talk about where Spotlight Church is headed. And so, and I'm looking forward to your feedback and conversation. Thank you.